So it was after 3 days that the officer went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from a place and go after it. Somebody say, go after it. Now get this picture. See a priest under a load and follow him. Find you somebody bearing an ark and go after him. Now, how do I get the ark? Well, let's go there in a minute. Let me just say this before I go there. I want to preach on that, but I want to say this first. One of the things that has changed in the world drastically is a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing because now we can hear preachers preach in Australia and Africa and across the land. And we can hear singers sing in those other countries because of that. The bad thing is we can hear preachers preach in Australia and in Singapore and every other place in the world. And that has caused schizophrenia theology in the body of Christ. Everybody listens to a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and they suddenly don't know what they believe anymore. How can a spirit-filled believer stop preaching on the rapture? How can somebody in one breath say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I believe the inerrant word of the inerrancy of the Bible, but I no longer believe in hell, or I no longer believe in heaven? What? Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading in? Are you reading the same scripture that I'm reading? How can you get to a point that you've heard so many whims of doctrine, which the Bible warned us against? You're not listening to a doctrine, you're listening to a whim. That means a little bit of one. I'm not listening to someone rightly divide the word of truth. I heard a statement that he made, a whim of doctrine, and I'm going after that. And now we have theology schizophrenia in the body of Christ that we no longer know what we believe. We've got everything from hyper faith that doesn't take faith at all. We got everything to your eternal security to no security. We got everything from there's no heaven to everybody goes to heaven. I mean, which do we believe? So here's what God tells you about that. God says, I don't want you following everybody. It doesn't, just because they're funny doesn't mean you need to follow them. Just because they're popular doesn't mean you need to follow them. Oh, you can be popular and still lead people astray. There's a man out in California, and I won't call his name, but he is a very popular guy who has conferences. I'll give you the name of his conference so you can look him up, the Shepherd's Conference. He has a Shepherd's Conference for one reason only. He is trying to defame Pentecostals. So he shows little clips of a Pentecostal preacher and then gets up afterwards and says, anybody who speaks in tongues is demon possessed. And he is using Pentecostal exuberance. Well, he'd get a lot of material from me, couldn't he? He's using all of us who get excited about what we got to say. He takes our passion and turns it into some kind of demon possession. And listen, don't even get him started on women, because he shows the faces and calls them by name of women ministers that God is using and tells everybody they're demon possessed. This man is openly blaspheming the Holy Spirit. He's openly and proudly and arrogantly blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and thousands are following him. Just because he's popular doesn't mean you need to go after him. Just because he's got 10,000 likes or 100,000 likes, that doesn't mean you need to follow him. Just because he's got a big YouTube channel doesn't mean you need to be following him. Just because he's got a cool haircut and dresses in skinny jeans doesn't mean you need to follow him. I could dress in skinny jeans, but you wouldn't want me to, I promise you. I promise you. And it wouldn't make me preach any better. So let me tell you, just because they have gimmicks and charisma doesn't mean you need to follow them. The Lord says, find you somebody that had to go in the Holy of Holies and get the ark. I don't want you following anybody. Find you somebody that smells like smoke, holy smoke. Find you somebody that had to walk past the brazen altar, somebody with a little blood on them. Find you somebody that smells like the bread that was baking in the inner court, and somebody that has incense on their shoes where it fell off on their feet. Find just somebody that has gone by the menorah and smells like oil. You find somebody that smells like oil, follow them, because just anybody can't carry that ark. Anybody can't go in that ark of the covenant. Give me a man or a woman that is ready to bear the load. Give me somebody that sounds like the gospel and lives like the gospel and looks like the gospel. Give me somebody that can preach me something besides the internet. Give me a gospel preacher. Give me a word preacher. Give me a Bible scripture that I can hold on to. Give me something I can sink my teeth into. Find you somebody under the load. Find you somebody under the power of the load and go after them, the Lord said. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't just follow anybody. Don't just follow anybody. Find you somebody that smells like smoke. Woo! You never thought you'd hear a preacher say that, did you? But that's, you won't forget it. Holy smoke. Give me somebody that's got oil stains on them. Give me somebody with tear stains. Give me somebody that's got a few calluses on their knee. Give me somebody who has a prayer life, who can quote the scripture. Give me a sword-bearing preacher. You find someone like that, you stick with them, because you won't get schizophrenic by listening to somebody who is preaching you the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So he said, when you find someone, go after them. Verse 4. And there should be a space between you and it. The ark he's talking about. There should be a space between you and the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. A lot of you know I love prophetic numbers, and I could just really go off there for about 30 minutes, but I can't. I don't have time. But that one really has a lot to say. 2,000 cubits by measure. That shows up over and over in the Bible. So, by the way, I'll just say it there. Do not come near it. Wait a minute. There's an ark that has to be in front of me. God says, be comfortable with me, but don't get casual with me. There's a big difference in being comfortable and being casual. I mean, I don't want to overstep here, but I already have, so why not? He might be your daddy if you need a daddy, and he is my father, but I also know that my daddy is a king, and I can't just treat him like a daddy without treating him like a king. I have to understand something about this. He said, put a space between you and him, knowing that you, here's why. If God is not leading, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not, what? Passed this way before. God says, if you pull me behind you, you're gonna get lost. Put me in front of you. Let me lead. But don't get so casual with me that you can flippantly just call out my name and not live right and think I'm paying attention to everything you say. There has to be a sacred. Can I just sound like a holiness preacher for just a minute? God is holy and God is sacred. And those who approach God must believe that God is holy. The oil is holy. The anointing is holy. The men and women of God are holy people of God sent to this earth to bring leadership to this earth. There is a priesthood of God, and we must never get too casual with the anointed things. Comfortable, yes. Casual, no. So the Lord says there must be a space between you and him.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I just want to go and preach right there. Say, what if God, can I just get down here? I don't need a note for this. I just want to tell you what's on my heart. What if everything you're going through right now is for one reason, to sanctify you for tomorrow? What if it's not the devil after all? What if it's God? Have you ever stopped to think that what you might be giving the devil credit for might be boot camp? Have you ever stopped to think that all these things you're giving the devil credit for might just be a training ground that God has called you to bring you to places you've never been before? Could it be? Sanctified means this. Brian, can I help? Will you help me preach tonight? Sanctified means this: set apart. Set apart. Now, I love Brian, so, and he's bigger than me, so I don't mess with him. But here's what this means. There are some people that can't go with me where I'm going. I'm not talking about Brian, but God says, I'm setting you apart from things that will hold you back. And sometimes the thing God is setting us apart is our own mindsets, our own belief systems, our own slack and lack and whininess that God is setting us apart. But sometimes it's even relationships. God is saying that where you're going, he can't go. He was great for you in this season. But I know you're going with me where I'm going. So there you go, Brian. Thank you. Setting apart means sanctify you. I'm setting you apart. What if everything you are going through is God's training? Wow. Not the devil's doing, God's training. What if God's getting you ready for what he has ready for you? What if God says, give me 2 years of agony and I'll give you 20 years of joy, peace, and love? Give me 2 years of hell on earth and I'll give you 40 years of heaven. But you got to get, what if God says, if you'll let me teach you to pray, then you can part the waters and call down fire from heaven. But you got to let me teach you how to pray. What if God says, let me teach you how to be selfless instead of self-centered, and when you're selfless, then I can exalt you and it won't go to your head. Then I can lift you up and you won't get the big head over it, or you won't get sassy on me. You won't get cocky on me. You won't get arrogant on me. What if God is saying, I want to lift you up, but I can't right now because I know what it will do to your ego? You are too insecure, you're too deflated, you are too needy. And if I lift you up right now, you will not know what to do with it. You will not know how to handle it. What if the Lord is saying, sanctify yourself to tomorrow? Because look at the rest of this verse. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. Wow. What if everything you're going through right now is not the devil? What if it's God getting you ready for what he has ready for you? How many of you know the name Oral Roberts? How many of you know he was a faith healer? Does anybody know why he was a faith healer? Because he was dying of tuberculosis and got healed. Does anybody know the name David Yonggi Cho, who built the largest church in the world? Anybody ever know that name? He was also, he was a Buddhist who was dying of tuberculosis. And he went to a little Assembly of God tent and got prayed for and got healed and built the largest church that has ever been built. He's the one that built Prayer Mountain. His tragedy was his training. The hardest thing he went through was the greatest thing he went through. It was a guy that came to my church many years ago. And this meant so much to me that I wrote it down. I don't think I've ever told you guys this story. But this guy came to my church many years ago, and he was up preaching. He was preaching on Joseph. I remember that. And does it ever scare you when those prophetic types, their eyes get real big, and you just know something's about to happen, and they turn around and look at you, and you think, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, just kind of want to, I don't know about you, I kind of want to crawl into the chair. It's like, no, let it be the guy beside me. But I was the only one sitting there. He's up preaching, and he gets those big goo-goo eyes, and he turns around in the middle of his sermon. My whole congregation's sitting out there, and he points at me, and he says the weirdest thing I've ever heard him say. He said, in the future, you will go through the hardest season of your life. And when you come out, you will go into the greatest season of your ministry. And that's all he said. Listen, every time I go through something hard, I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, let this be it. I've had enough, God. Let this be the prophecy. Let this be the one. And every time I go through something, okay, God, I'm waiting now. Let this be the one. But I've never forgotten that. As a matter of fact, I transcribed the entire prophecy because it was a little longer than that. I'm giving you the cliff notes. But I transcribed it so I could read it over and over again because he said, you will go through the hardest season of your life and you will come out on the other side in the greatest season of your ministry. What if God is trying to turn you into a prophet? What if God is trying to turn you into a pastor? What if God is training you to be a minister? What if God is training you for the pulpit? What if God is training you for that book inside of you that needs to be written to set the captives free? What if the hardest thing you're going through is actually God saying, I'm getting you ready for what you've never, what I already have ready for you because I'm taking you somewhere you've never been before. All right, let's keep going. I'm almost done. Let's keep going. Verse 7. Told you I was going to verse 8, so we're almost there. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. What if God is getting ready to exalt you? Someone finish this verse for me. The first shall be, and the last shall be. Wow. Can we do that again? The first shall be, and the last shall be. What if God is getting ready to exalt you? What if you are on the verge of the greatest breakthrough of your life? What if you are on the precipice of the greatest anointing, something you've strived for and prayed for and fasted for? What if you are on the verge? And what if your story, the part of your story that you don't like, am I the only one? Anybody got a part of your story you don't like? Anybody have a chapter you don't want to read again in your book of life? I have some like that in my life. What if God is saying, I am getting ready to exalt you, but I have to humble you before I exalt you? Somebody tell me why that's necessary. Why does God have to humble me before he exalts me? What if he doesn't humble me and goes ahead and exalts me? What will fill my heart? You all know it, pride. God says pride will destroy you, so I have to humble you before I can exalt you. So what if what you're going through is God getting you ready for what he has ready for you? All right, verse 8. And you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand before the Jordan. Huh. Hear the word of the Lord tonight. I know you're tired and you're weary, but do you have the strength for one more leap of faith? I know you've been through a lot and you have fought a lot of battles and you have lost a lot of good people along the journey, but do you have the faith to sling the slingshot one more time? I know what you've been through, but do you have the faith to trust the Lord again? Do you still have it in you to believe that God's promises are true? I know the wind's been knocked out of your sails. I know that what you've been through, nobody should have gone through. But the Lord says you're worn out, but do you still believe the word is true? You're tired, but do you still believe that God can make a way where there is no way? You're frustrated, but do you still believe that God wants to bless you in the city and bless you in the field and bless you in whatever you put your hands to prosper? I know you're depleted, but do you have enough faith to step into the water when the water has parted, believing that God will part the water in front of you? That was his question to Joshua. I know you've been through, you've buried your mentors. You have lost your friends. You have been through everything, but can you still step into a moment of faith and trust me for your future? You know, this has been a week where God decided to raise up more generals. How do I know that? Because he's calling home some generals. God is not going to leave us nor forsake us. If God is calling home generals, that torch falls somewhere. That mantle falls somewhere. There is an Elisha somewhere who will pick up that mantle when God calls home generals. This week, Perry had to speak in two places that he didn't want to be. He had to speak at Aunt B's funeral, his longtime prayer partner. They tell me stories of Aunt B one time here at a conference that she was just standing down the hallway and so many people came up for her to pray, to have prayer, that they were slain in the spirit all the way down the corridor before the service even started. She was just out there praying for people in the hallway, and before the service ever started, the power of God was slaying people in the spirit in the corridors. What a powerful woman of God. There was another place that Perry spoke, and thank you for honoring me. I heard what you said, and I really appreciate you giving, you know, telling them that I wanted to be there. But he also spoke at Floyd Lahan's funeral. Now, Floyd Lahan is a general. So I thought that it would be appropriate to let a voice from heaven finish my sermon. Now, I've preached on Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And he was also preaching on Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. So I want to let Brother Floyd Lahan tell you what I've been trying to tell you all night.
Was said to the people, tomorrow, as the priests take hold of the ark and begin to march, you're to follow them. For tomorrow, you're going where you have never been before. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to take you where you've never been. I'm going to show you what you've never seen. I'm going to set a table before you from whence you've never eaten. There are some who thrill to think about that, but there are others who are satisfied as things are. They don't want any disturbance. They've got a sign on their countenance, do not disturb. Leave me alone. I'm at ease in Zion. Let me sleep my way into eternity. But God's not going to allow it. He's bringing a fresh outpouring of his Spirit. But there is a group of people that are going to accept what God is doing in this last day. And they're going to move into a realm of the Spirit. Those people who accept what God is doing will begin to function differently than they ever have before. A new manifestation of apostolic power is coming. A new wave of Pentecostal power is sweeping over those who are hungry to be a part of God's end time plan. And we seek him and we go after him and we get so close to him. But then there's those things of the flesh that God brings to our spirit, and he's trying to take them out and eradicate us of sin and iniquity so that he can bring us into the fullness of his glory and his power. The church is about to rise up to be the church he intended
her to be. She's about to get so radical by the glory of the Lord that comes and the Spirit that moves in her. She's literally going up to the high places. She's going to tear the devil's kingdom down. And when she tears the devil's kingdom down, the world is going to see something more different from the house of the Lord than she's seen since the New Testament church 2,000 years ago.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you hear him? God is going to pour out his spirit. There is people who are ready to go where God wants to go, and nothing is going to hold them back.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.